Well, welcome everybody and happy Friday. I'm Jeff Beaupre and your host for the Extra Business Week in Review. Also, my great co-host, Robin Roberts of Pikes Peak National Bank is here. Happy Friday, Robin.
Happy Friday.
And a very special guest, Mr. Mark Pimentel. Can I still say new general manager? You've been here a few months now.
Yeah, going on 5 months, so I'm not sure it feels new anymore.
I know my way around now.
That's a good thing. That's a good thing.
Well, he's going to be joining us just shortly, and we're going to get right into it. We got a busy Friday filled out. I know Mark to talk about kind of where KRDO Network is going, some of the changes he's made and bringing things together. Great communique with all of the media, being television and radio together. Looking forward to that. We're also going to be talking about the new Colorado cyber law, and Robin's already grinning. There's been very little coverage given to this, and this impacts every business in Colorado that stores any sort of PII, or personally identifiable information. We're going to get into that after we talk with Mark a little bit, so stay tuned on that one. We're going to give you some details. Like I said, it impacts every business. It's a big deal for Colorado. And Robin's shaking her head. She's already up to her ears in this from the banking side of that. That's right, isn't it?
Well, we're already regulated. So a lot of this we're already doing. But a lot of our customers that are businesses are not. They don't even know that this law was passed and went into effect on September 1st.
It's really amazing. But before we get into that, a quick cyber bite to share with all the businesses. There is a new piece of malware making the rounds. It is probably the most minimalist email I've ever seen, but it is having an impact. People will get this email and it'll say your Outlook 365, the last few messages haven't been sent out because it didn't connect. Click here to retrieve that mail. That's all it says. And it has been wreaking havoc on businesses. They go, oh, my Office 365, and it's, like I said, it's minimalist, and it's sucking them in right and left. If you get it, what's my old, I pound this drum all the time. Think before you click, and pay attention. Don't be clicking on things. Worst case, put your mouse over it. Don't click on it, and you'll see the path. It has nothing to do with Office 365. So there's the major takeaway besides this new cyber law today. But let's jump in and have a discussion with Mark. Mark, tell us where KRDO, you see it going, and then we're going to get into a great topic. He was grinning from ear to ear when we had lunch a couple weeks ago. We're going to talk about his perspective on fake news. So lead it the way.
Well, in terms of KRDO, I think that coming into this station or stations, I just saw a great opportunity. Radio was here and TV was here, and obviously we have a strong digital presence, but the products themselves were sort of siloed, and I just felt since this is news radio and News Channel 13 is all about where the news comes first, and digital is about getting the news out as quickly as you can, it just made sense to bring them all under one umbrella, which is the KRDO network, and really try to get radio into the mix more. And when TV interrupts for breaking news or severe weather, now radio does, which really wasn't happening on a regular basis. And we've made that a little more seamless. So we're still working on it. It's a work in progress. And then the website is shared by both products. So really our goal is to reach you wherever you live, whether that's, in your car, with the app for radio, TV. Obviously, a lot more people are consuming media on their phones than ever before. So we're putting a lot of effort into our mobile site as well as our app. So we just want to make sure that wherever you are, we are, and we're delivering news and information as quickly as we can.
And that makes so much sense because you're right. The world has changed from when we used to listen to just radio for most of it. And then television, I'm showing my age here. television comes along, with a lot more product. And now the digital age, so many of the younger people, they live on the telephone, the smartphone. That's their only means of communication. And it's amazing what gets transacted information out there. So that digital side is, yeah, that's a big change.
Yeah, I mean, I'll show my age too. I grew up in the era of reading a newspaper daily, and worked in radio right out of college and in college, and then transitioned to TV. But the internet didn't exist.
Right.
Al Gore hadn't found it yet. and so
I'm glad the boss said that, not me.
wherever it came from. But anyway, it's so different now than even when it was first developed. I mean, for example, as I was a TV news guy at the time, and here comes the internet. And in the beginning, we would still hold stories back from the internet and make sure we broke them on TV. We didn't want to scoop ourselves, as it were, or tell our competitors we've got this story, mm-hmm. and then they'll have it in time for the newscast. And
that makes sense.
Has completely changed, where with the possible exception of, some investigative work, if we know it, it's now 9/12 or 9/13, whatever. And if at that point when we know it, it's, it'll be on the web by 9/15. And that's just the way we operate. And that's a big change from when the beginning of the internet,
It's amazing how fast information travels these mm-hmm. days. I'm texting our new partner in the EU this morning, like this is nothing. 10 years ago you had to schedule a time, and it was either a telephone or something, but now it's worldwide instantly.
Yeah.
No matter what it is.
Yeah, and I think that, and if you want, we can transition to the land of fake news. and what I would say about it is that both the internet and particularly social media has really changed the dynamics of what is news and what you should believe. I think you should be much more skeptical about things you read online and in social media, Facebook in particular, I think. We used to, if it was in the newspaper or the TV spoke it or the radio spoke it back in the day, we believed it. If it's written, we pretty much believed it. That doesn't mean that newspapers never did corrections and things like that, but for the most part, the effort was to get it right.
Right.
And now you really have to be skeptical of where did this come from.
Yes.
Because, there's urban legends out there. There's stuff that is simply made up. We know for a fact now that Russia was, doing Facebook posts, which were nothing but folly. And people were sharing those things
as if they were
truth.
Yep.
And but also people do it too. I mean, I'll give you a classic example.
Well, hold that example for just a second.
Okay.
We have to take a quick break, so stay with us. We're going to come back with Robin and Mark. He's going to give us more of this on fake news, because I really wanted to hear your perspective on it. So stay with us. You're listening to the Extra Business Week in Review. It is 9:17 on Friday morning. We'll be right back. Well, welcome back, everybody. I'm Jeff Beaupre, your host for the Business Week in Review. I'm in the studio with Robin Roberts of Pikes Peak National Bank and Mr. Mark Pimentel, who's the general manager of KRDO Network. We're having a discussion before the break about fake news and how the digital realm has changed all that. You had some interesting points, and Robin says, make sure you tell that story. I apologize. I interrupted you.
No, that's okay. So about 2 weeks ago, I got an email from a gentleman that said, I understand the ABC network is told all anchors and at ABC TV stations not to wear a flag lapel pin. And I just chuckled to myself because I ran a ABC affiliate in Lexington, Kentucky from 2002 to 2007, and then I ran an ABC affiliate in Louisville, Kentucky from 2007 to 2012. Well, this email is out there, has been out there, and this urban legend that ABC has told us not to wear lapel pins, this dates back to 2003 and probably before. So I've seen this email come around, 15 different times. And now
it comes in waves. Yeah.
It comes in waves because apparently somebody then puts it on social media and then people believe it because somebody said it. And then I start getting angry emails that how could you be so unpatriotic to allow your anchors not to wear lapel pins? And if they want to wear a lapel pin with the flag, you can do it. There's nothing. We're not telling anybody not to. It never, ever happened. Yet it's out there. And it spins around in cyberspace and then reappears periodically. And for some reason, it's an ABC thing. I've run CBS stations and NBC stations. I've never seen it about that. But for some reason, it's an ABC, you know, story that's not true. And yet it keeps coming back up and back up and back up.
That's
but
amazing.
We all have those Facebook friends that share those kinds of things. And you're like, why?
Yeah.
You know that's not true.
That's a good point. Yeah, there's no vetting anymore. They just right. instantly reply all. And that vetting process or, you know, you call somebody, I call Robin and say, Robin, where did you get this from? They don't do that. It's just bang, out the door.
I mean, the other part about news, and I was a trained journalist and I was in news for roughly 20 years, that when I went to college for it and learned about journalism, we were all taught to be objective, to ride the middle rail, if you will, and to make sure both sides of the story were there. And in fact, in some cases, there are stories that have three and four sides to them. And what I never saw happening is where we are today. And that is that, you know, my hat's off to Fox News and whoever thought that up because it was a brilliant play. I think there's aspects of it as it relates to journalism that I find contemptible, but nonetheless, it's there. MSNBC is the other version of that, if you will, from the other spectrum. And then a lot of people think that CNN is too liberal or ABC is too liberal or whoever's too liberal. But the thing that I didn't see happening is that people have changed their news consumption more or less to hear what they want to hear, as opposed to hearing all different sides of it and understanding what the other side of the political spectrum is thinking. And if you take it to another level, this same aspect is true in Congress, where I grew up at a time when Tip O'Neill would reach across the aisle and do a deal with the Republicans over some type of issue. Nobody would get everything they wanted, but at least they would find the ability to compromise. And now it is, if you're Democrat and I'm Republican, anything you want, you are not getting. But that aspect into the news realm is also very true. People just, the lack of objectivity is kind of scary. And you can tell part of a story without lying, but you can leave part of the story out that you find inconvenient.
It changes the whole
thing.
And
it changes the whole structure of it. And that happens a lot, and I don't think people are skeptical enough. And I would urge everybody to listen from the variety of political spectrums so you're better informed and can actually make a decision for yourself instead of going to the trough and letting somebody force feed you, which is not always the truth.
And that's a very key point is people are following the various threads that feed their own perspective, their own thinking, and it only magnifies, well, look at how divisive the whole country is right now. You can't have a civil conversation about politics without, you need armor and, you know, who knows what else. It's so true.
And I wish, it was interesting to me when the anniversary of 9/11 happened, a couple of weeks ago. And I remembered back to that time, which was very tragic and very troubling, and we were all scared. But the aftermath of that, if we all remember it, was there was a complete coming together
mm-hmm.
and
so
patriotism
true.
and political agendas floated out. And you just everyone was together. I mean, it didn't matter whether you supported George Bush and you liked George Bush, but all of a sudden he was our president and we believe in him. And I think, you know, I'd hate to see terrorism get us there again. But when I thought of it, it was like we have gone so far afield from that. And it's like you can't be patriotic if you view this differently.
That's right.
And, you know, let's use the Kaepernick example and the kneeling and all that other stuff. There are so many views of that. You know, it's not anti-patriotic. We have freedom of expression. It's part of our Constitution. And to say that it's not patriotic, when really what you're saying is, and what he is saying is, that there is a problem in this country of particularly young black men being shot, and that our society doesn't seem to be doing enough about it. And that was what that was about. It wasn't that I don't like our flag. It isn't that I don't like our country. It is, we've got to do something about this, and I'm going to make a statement. And this has gotten so twisted, and it's interesting to see that even some military people have gotten behind him and say that's not what he's saying.
That's right.
But yet there's this twisting about, you know, so I don't know. It's just, as a journalist that was trained to ride the middle rail, it is a completely different landscape out there than what I started with.
And it's got to be tough in this business today to how do you handle that? You know, how do you, because people are so polarized, and you're, like you say, you're trying to ride the middle rail, and with the media staff, that's a tough job.
It is. And you know, we get emails and phone calls, primarily emails, and I answer every email that I get, unless somebody uses profanity, in which case I will second guess myself and whether or not I want to answer them. But, for example, when you're on a controversial subject and you're getting emails from both sides, that's when you really know you're doing your job well.
Yes, that's a good point.
Because if both sides are angry with the truth, then you're probably doing your job fairly well.
That's a good way to look at it. I hadn't thought about that.
Yeah, I mean, you still have to deal with the anger. But I think when you explain yourself to people, oftentimes they will back off. And they also don't expect sometimes that a human will actually answer them. They're just firing off this angry salvo. And then when you come back with some lucid thoughts, they kind of tend to back off and go, yeah, I'm kind of sorry I got that angry over that and whatever.
Amazing.
Yeah.
A great perspective, Mark. I really appreciate you stopping in. We're going to need to go to a break. Stay with us. You're listening to the Extra Business Week in Review. But Mark, thank you very, very much for joining the program this morning.
Thanks for having me.
It was great. We'll be right back. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Jeff Beaupre. You're listening to the Business Week in Review on KRDO News Radio. In the studio with me is Robin Roberts of Pikes Peak National Bank. Happy Friday again, Robin.
Happy Friday. Good morning.
A couple of house cleaning items I missed at the front of the show. You can stream us and listen to us live on the web at krdo.com. Also, the podcast site will host the shows after they air at businessweekinreview.podbean.com. Leave us a note on the main website as well, businessweekinreview.com. Send us a note, a question. We'll follow up with you. And our thanks to Dan Morton of Fairlane Web Consulting. He does all that work and a great job in keeping the word out there for that digital media like Mark was talking about. Well, let's dive in. Next subject, big subject. Well, there's actually two of them. Business, and where does Robin see business regionally? Perspective on that, and then we're going to talk about this cyber law, because that's a really big deal, and Robin is, ear deep in that whole thing. But I guess lead off, Robin, talk about the kind of business cycles. What do you see going on regionally that you see from the banking perspective? And let me preface this. Your perspective is much larger now, being CEO of a large organization.
Well, of a growing organization. We're not large yet, but
well,
we are
a whole
growing.
Lot bigger than...
And I'm not an economist, so I'm just looking at it from the trends that we see from our business customers, and we are primarily a small business bank, but also from the economic indicators that we look at as we're making decisions in the growth of our company. And we're certainly seeing sales tax revenues in the city of Colorado Springs are up. Some of it is due to hailstorms. So,
thank you, Mother Nature.
Last year, we thought those were one-time events, but or non-recurring events, as you would say when you're looking at budgets. But it was a recurring event. We had it for the last 3 years.
It's
We've
been
had these
craziness.
Hailstorms that have decimated whole areas of the city. And so we're seeing sales tax revenues, of course, increasing there, and some business sectors really benefiting from the increased spending from insurance and discretionary spending on repairing houses, cars, windows, roofs, all of that.
And one of our clients provides material into the roofing industry, and they're
doing very well this
they
year.
They can't keep up with
and
it.
And last year, probably.
Yes, very yes. much so.
And so we're seeing the revenue, sales tax revenues up, which means there's a lot of economic activity happening right now in Colorado Springs. And we're seeing growth in Colorado Springs, particularly in the northern area of Colorado Springs, housing, a lot of jobs that are up in Denver, and that housing market is really hot. It's hard to get a house in Denver, so people who have jobs in Denver are now buying homes in northern Colorado Springs. And so I don't know about you, but every time I go up in the northern area of Colorado Springs, I'm just blown away by the growth in that area.
To your point, I had to go out on Mark Scheffel earlier in the week to visit a potential client. I was stunned at the building and the housing along Mark Scheffel Road. Now, I remember it. You know, I think I get out there fairly often, but I obviously been living under a rock for a while. It's amazing, the building that's going on. It's not the two-lane country road anymore.
And we're still seeing the real estate market being very strong, both residential and commercial. We've kind of backed off of the time where there were multiple offers on every home and we were even in a multiple offer a situation with commercial properties, particularly industrial. We're not seeing that as much right now, but still a very strong market for commercial properties and for housing. Housing is in demand. We've got a large millennial generation that is moving into those ages of wanting to buy a home. They're not, you know, living in apartments any longer. They want, and rents continue to go up.
Rents
so
are
they'd like,
crazy.
You know, they're looking, and really interest rates are still, even though they've inched up, they're still relatively low. I mean, you and I can remember when housing mortgage rates were
ridiculous.
So when someone says, oh, my interest rate is 4.5, it's way too high.
Yeah, add a 1 in front of that and then talk to me.
You are lucky.
Yeah.
So we're seeing good economic news right now. I would say the one weakness in the local economy is we're not bringing a lot of new companies. We're not seeing a lot of new growth in job increases. And while that's not hurting us right now, in the long run, it can hurt us. And so we should really, that's a focus.
Economic development is what
it's all about.
Economic
development is an important aspect of long-term economic planning for the city. And it should be a focus.
That's a very good point, you know, and you reminded me I need to say hello to Gilberto. If he's listening this morning, our new partnership with the European Economic Chamber, when we're going to try to stir the economic development up across the pond and here as well. So to Robin's point about economic growth, but at the same time, we have some regulation, and it's kind of a segue into this cyber law. So big news that it's not been communicated. I don't know. I haven't heard anything about it, but
we only heard about it because we have really great attorneys who let us know about it right before September 1st, which is when the law went into effect.
1 September.
And we're a regulated business. I mean, we're a bank. We're regulated by the federal agencies because we have a national charter. But state banks are regulated by the Federal Reserve, or the FDIC, and the State Banking Regulatory Authority. So banks are already, a lot of the provisions of this law, banks are already, they've already been doing this for a really long time. But the specifics of this law are if you have a breach and it affects this many Colorado residents, there are reporting authorities that have to be done.
30 days if you cross those, yes.
Yeah, 500 residents and 1,000 residents. So those kinds of specific reporting requirements for the state of Colorado where we're doing business have to be added to our policies. But for us, that's not a problem. We're already basically doing these things. But look at the definition of personal information. So this applies to any business doing business in the state of Colorado who holds or protects personal identifying information for their clients. And look at all of the items that fall under that. I mean, obviously a social security number, a driver's license number, medical information, health insurance identification numbers, biometric data. So this spans a lot of different industries. I mean, medical, dental, lawyer, car dealerships.
Car dealerships. That was a very good one you brought up.
So not only do they have to have some kind of protection in place for this data, but they have to have a written policy about what they're going to do in the event that there's a breach. And this is, again, something that a lot of businesses might say, well, it's not going to happen. I don't need to do it. Well, you're not only going to have to deal with the breach and the aftermath of that, but also that you violated this law. And what are the repercussions and the costs of that, both financial and reputational?
Yeah, it's big. And the fines were, $10,000 per record, I think it was, if I'm reading it right, or a maximum of $500,000 for the event. So,
how many businesses do you know that just write a check for $500,000 and that not affect the business moving forward?
It would have a severe impact.
Yeah.
And to your point, you've got to have the processes. You have to have the notification processes in place. You have to know what you have first. You have to go search, do we actually save that information? Is it available? And a key point in this is not just the business, but your third-party vendors as well. So this also, you know, we've been talking about the cloud series that we're talking about cloud storage or cloud applications. Russ Rogers is working with us. Unfortunately, he is not going to be able to be with us on the 28th. He got called out of town for a breach. Imagine that. But the point is, if you contract services for data storage or apps and things like that, and there is personal identifiable information in that, your vendor has to have those same policies and procedures to provide the customers, both who they're contracting with and the end customer. So this goes back, you know, we've talked about this on many a program. Robin and I have pounded on this. You have to have the policies and procedures in place. You have to have the security in place. And we talk about the cybersecurity audits. It's due diligence as a board of director member as well. So there's fiduciary responsibilities in that. And we talked a few months ago about GDPR out of Europe and that protection. Well, it has come home to roost in Colorado. And it's, you know, I'm probably overemphasizing it. No, I'm not. It's something you really have to pay attention to.
Well, Jeff, we talk a lot about just business fundamentals. Like every business has to have insurance and it has to have, an accountant because you pay taxes and you've got your profit and loss statements and your balance sheets. And these are fundamentals. You have an attorney to handle your legal entity formation. Cyber is no longer like something that some businesses take care of. It's a requirement. It is a business fundamental, particularly if you're a business that is handling personally identifiable information for your clients. This is a fundamental. You need to set aside money in your budget to take care of it on an annual basis, because it's a lot less expensive to take care of on the front end than
so
on the back
true.
End.
Well, when we come back, we're going to talk about this a little more. We're also going to, there's a great reference handbook that was put together out of a firm in Denver. We're going to share that information, but it is 9:48 on Friday morning. You're listening to the Business Week in Review. We will be right back. Welcome back, everybody. It's just a little past 9:50 on Friday morning. I'm Jeff Beaupre and in the studio with Robin Roberts. We're talking about the new cyber law in Colorado. Took effect December. I know. Don't push it any faster. The year going by, 1st of September, and its impact on Colorado businesses. It's a big change, as Robin said. That know what data you have. Is there anything personal in it, and how are you going to protect it? Luckily, from the banking side, she's got a great staff working for her that's handling a lot of this. But for a lot of businesses, they haven't even heard about this as yet.
So. No, and just the fact, the law does require you, if you have that kind of information, that you have to protect it.
You have to protect it.
That, just that alone, is a step that many businesses have not taken.
Well, and we see, like this cyber bite that we led the program off with this morning was, you know, this breach of Office 365. Click here and you'll get your mail reconnected, but it installs some backdoors and some other malware, and it gives them access to some of this information. So if you've got it in an email, you've already got a problem. So you really have to pay attention to it. So, but the takeaways for today is there is a great handbook out there. If you want some reading to, you know, help you, your sleep patterns. Robin, you've got the names. My piece of paper ran off, but it's Strauss, as I recall.
David Strauss.
Strauss.
Yes.
This is a law firm in Denver, Ballard Spahr. We're going to put the link out on the podcast site and the social media site. So go to that link. You can download. They've done a fabulous job of summarizing the law, what you need to do to prepare for it. It's some of the information that we've been reading off of this morning. But David and his team have put together this handbook. Get with your IT staff or give us a call. We're happy to work through some of this, but they put a great resource together, and it's free out of Ballard Spahr in Denver, and a great firm. So we appreciate all the effort they have put together on that one. But you got to get things together because Robin hit it on the head. You want to be ahead of this. If you have any sort of breach and you haven't not reported it, or you don't even know what you need to report at that point, that's a big part of it. Mm-hmm. What is the reporting structure? Then you're hung out. You know, this is like a HIPAA violation. It's not, you know, and this rolls into HIPAA as well. Even though HIPAA, you know, it already protects some of that medical information, this is another layer in the icing, so to speak, on that. And we're going to be talking with Mike Ware in a couple of weeks about that implementation as well, because it impacts all his medical practices and pro practice. I don't think there's not a business that doesn't get touched, is there, Robin?
I don't think that it affects like restaurants or retailers that are just swiping a credit card. Because it's not stored and they don't have like PIN numbers or passwords or anything along with that. But if you're keeping copies of driver's license numbers or...
car lots, yeah, as you mentioned.
Yeah, exactly. Social security numbers, military ID cards. Mm-hmm. I would definitely recommend going to this resource that Jeff is talking about, because they give a good list of all of the things that fall under personally identifiable information.
It's great input. But with that, we're going to have to say goodbye for this Friday. We're glad you joined us. You're listening to the Business Week in Review. Robin, thank you for joining. Always great to have you in the studio. Have a great weekend, everybody. We'll see you next week.